welcome to all the listeners of the Forecast F1 podcast, and I'm happy to welcome you to the episode right after the Imola Grand Prix, apparently the last time that it's on the calendar for a while. And I'm happy to be joined by my co-host Samantha. Samantha, how are you doing, and how glad were you that we started this first race of the triple header?
Yeah, very glad, and hello. I'm doing quite well. A little rainy here, and nice sunshine in Imola, it seemed, this weekend. But all in all, I think it was a pretty good weekend to discuss.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot to talk about. And we are being joined by a new guest, and I'm happy to welcome you, Rainier, from the Philippines. I'm very glad you could make it on the podcast.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for inviting me. So it's a pleasure to be here with you guys. It's my first time to have a podcast talking about F1. So I'm really excited about it. So yeah, thank you so much for inviting me again.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. I think there's a lot of material to talk about for the weekend. And let's start talking a little bit about the scores for the forecast game. And we had 1,376 players this weekend. And to kick it off, I'll be interesting to ask the both of you how many people you both think correctly predicted this podium in this order of finishing. So out of 1,376 people, Samantha, how many do you think went with a Verstappen, Norris, Piastri podium?
Ooh, I'm going to say about 110. I'm not going to go that high because I think that a lot of people anticipated it to be a McLaren win this weekend.
Rainier, what's your best guess?
Maybe 100, because I'm not sure with Piastri was not able to get P1 with, you know, dominance of Max from the whole race. So I think especially the P1.
Okay, well, it's an accurate thought that a lot of people wouldn't have gone with the Verstappen win, because there was only 14 people that got the podium right in this order, so much lower than both of you had thought. But Rainier is closer to the right answer. So that means actually that later on in the quiz, you'll be the first one to take guesses. But we'll get to that part a little bit later. Let us first have a look at the average score for this weekend, which I thought was relatively low. 34.6 was the average score for everyone playing the game. And Samantha, I'm also curious to hear which podium do you think was the most predicted podium?
That's a good question. I'm going to go with Piastri, definitely, for the win. I'll say Norris in second, and third, I'm going to go with, let's say we're in Imola, so let's go with a Ferrari and say Leclerc.
That one actually comes up pretty low. I think I didn't even check that one, because I think there were actually not that many people that went with a Ferrari podium. I'm pretty sure that the most commonly predicted podium was Piastri Norris. You got that right, and then Verstappen on third, actually. But we'll get to that a little bit later on as well in the quiz. Let's first have a look at the podium of Forecast. And when we get to that, we see that there's actually a shared P2 this weekend. And that P2 is being shared, first of all, by Zsolt Rajc from Hungary. And getting 71 points would have gotten you that podium this weekend. The other person on that second spot on the podium is Robin Kessler from Germany. And that's actually his second podium in Forecast. He finished third for the Austrian Grand Prix in 2023, a while back. So welcome back on the podium, Robin. And our winner for this weekend is from Zambia, Mwenya Chipambe, which actually means that we're playing the Zambian national anthem after this episode.
Very cool. I think that's going to be a first.
That is going to be a first. Samantha, I'm curious to hear from your side who you think had the most, which countries had the most players this weekend.
Well, I think there's not going to be a big change when it comes to that. I'm going to go with Kenya, then I'm going to say Spain, and then Mexico in third.
That's right, and that's also the correct order. We had 106 people from Kenya playing, 77 from Spain, and 66 from Mexico. And when we look at the scores for countries, we see that in the top 20, there's only one change, Bolivia passing Italy unfortunately, during their home race for P14. And actually, the most amount of gained places for any country is Ukraine, moving up 8 spots from 110 to P102. There's no new high scores, neither worldwide nor for the continents. There weren't that many high scores to begin with. I didn't mention it, I think, but Mwenya winning the game scored 81 points. So 81 was the winning score. And with that, I would also like to look at the overall competition a little bit and see who is still on that podium over there. So after our previous race, we had, after Miami, on P3, Carlos Machuca from Puerto Rico. And he scored only 26 points this weekend, and with that loses his P3 spot and is being replaced by somebody else. And he's now on P12. Replacing him, coming in from P4, is Harry Daimling from Czech Republic, scoring 39.8 points this weekend. And with that, he's now on the podium. On P2, we still have Valentin Paris from France, scored 38.4 this weekend, remains on P2. And remaining on P1, Jordi Schoonewille from the Netherlands, scoring 38.9 points, which means half a point more than our P2. So that means he's now 3.5 points ahead of P2 and extending his lead a little bit, which means we get to our predictions. And Samantha, first, I would like to hear from you. What did you predict for this weekend? What was your podium?
My podium turns out to be the most common podium, like you mentioned. So I went with Piastri, Norris, Verstappen.
That's right. Did you actually check if you got anybody right on the right spot from your whole prediction? Of course, Norris on P2.
I do like to avoid doing that before the podcast because I find it a little bit more surprising when I find out more often than not that I did not get the right people on the podium. But I want to say maybe I got Sainz right on the podium as well.
No, you got...
not on the podium.
Yeah, on the right spot. No, but you got...
Let me correct that.
No, but you're at the back end, you did get somebody right. You got Tsunoda right on P10.
Right, Tsunoda, I did choose for P10.
So that got you 1 point. You scored 34.8 this weekend, and it got you a P657 for the weekend.
Ooh, where does that put me now?
You were on P347. You're losing out 3 spots. You're now on P350.
I could be worse. I'll take that.
Yeah. And with that, I would also like to look at your score, Rainier. Do you remember what you predicted? What was your podium prediction for this weekend?
Yeah, I think I had a lot of hopes for Antonelli at P3, but I sticked with the usual P1 and P2, Piastri and Norris from the last few races. I think that's what I was trying to hope for 1-2 for McLaren. So yeah, but I think I only got one. I was able to get it correctly. So from Norris and P2.
That's right. But not only did you get Norris right on P2, you actually also had Leclerc on the right spot. So you had Leclerc on P6, which is where he finished. And actually, Samantha, you didn't get Sainz right, but Rainier did, because you had him on P8, and that's where you finished.
Nice.
So you scored 4 points for that as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, actually, I was able to remember below the podium. I was able to hit the right spot for some drivers, but only the podium is only one.
Yeah, but it's not too bad. You score 39.9 points, and with that, you end up being number P228 this weekend.
That's not too bad.
It's definitely not too bad, especially if you compare it to me and Samantha, because I also didn't do that great. I went with a podium of Piastri, Norris, and Russell, and actually also getting Leclerc on P6 correct. So I got 35.6 points. And with that, I end up being P577 for the weekend and moving from P683 to P632. So that is where we are at. And with that, we usually move to the collaborations that we have. And that's going to be a little bit more elaborate part this podcast, because actually, Rainier, you are the owner of Pregame Motorshop Merchandise, which is actually our largest collaboration for this season. And before we go and talk a little bit about the scores, I'd like to hear a little bit from your side. What is Pregame? What do you do? And well, tell us anything you want.
Okay, yeah. Actually, I didn't realize that we're one of their biggest collaborators. I thought that we're just a small group that collaborated with you guys, but it's nice to hear that from you. So yeah, Pregame, or Pregame Motorsports Merchandise, I started this online shop in 2022. It's just for fun, actually. I wasn't able to realize at first that it will last this long. And was able to meet a lot of people because of this, actually. So yeah, it's just a small shop before. Then I decided to start this because, you know, I was, during the pandemic, I was fond of, you know, shopping for F1 merchandise, shirts, caps, scale models. Then I realized some of my friends are asking me to also buy from them and just pay me afterwards. Then I thought that why not turn it into business? So we just tried it on Instagram, just, you know, telling some of my friends to follow my page. Then after that, there was already a boost on some of the sales, and which I didn't realize. And I didn't realize that F1 will be this big now. Unlike in the previous years while I was watching it, I started watching around 2006, but it's not really consistent. But now it's really big, that the market for and opportunities for business on with F1 is really boosting up. So yeah, so until now, we're still doing it. So it's our third year already, and only having myself doing everything for the shop. I already have a small team which is comprised of 4 people, and one of which is my wife now. So she's also helping me out. And yeah, so we have a couple of collaborations already, just like also with our partnership with Monza Barcade. It's one of the simulator arcade and bar here in the Philippines, just started last year. And also have some collaborations not only with Forecast F1, but also with other content creators and influencers here in the Philippines. So yeah, so well, hopefully it will continue to boost up our the business. Is not only I think it's not only I see it not only as a business, but also already as a community, because of, you know, we're able to build some relationships, good relationship with some F1 fans and customers that turn out to become my friends. And actually also some of the people who are helping me out right now, my small team, were also my previous customers before. So yeah, so I'm so happy that, you know, it's not only about having a business on the side, but also more of building a community, a fan base for F1 here in the Philippines locally. So yeah.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting, and actually it's also very cool to hear that it's the popularity is growing, and of course, like you say, yeah, not just, you know, seeing it as a business, but also as a hobby. And tell me a little bit more about the part of, you mentioned Bar Monza there, so you guys are organizing watch parties, if I'm not mistaken, for Formula One, is that right?
Yeah, so Monza Barcade is again, it's a racing themed simulator bar and arcade. So so aside from, there are around 16 simulators, top of the line simulators that was installed inside the bar, so 16 of them. So 2 of them are motion simulator rigs, as you call it. So it's moving, the seats are moving while you drive. So yeah, but it's more of F1. But sometimes they also do like other racing series, but it's more of F1, Formula One racing series. So they started last year, but our partnership started 2003. 23, so sorry, 2023, because when they're just trying to promote it, like they're going from different places with their racing simulator truck. So they have a trailer truck that has three simulators. So we were going around to different places, and so we were already supporting them and sponsoring with them with their events. So until then, when the bar opened last, I think June 2024. That's the time there were already some watch parties that has been organizing every race, and not only we still do organize, even we have races at 4 a.m., 3 a.m. So yeah, so it's great that it's also very surprised to see that a lot of people are coming, even though it's very early in the morning. So yeah, so we are the ones also supplying for their merchandise. So so they are selling also Formula One merchandise in the bar. So it's part of their the business model. So we are the ones sponsoring their watch parties and supplying Formula One merchandise. So right now there are a lot of sponsors that are coming in. Before it's only us and I think Red Bull and Heineken. Now there's Valvoline, and yeah, a lot of big sponsorships also are partnering with them. So yeah, I'm just happy to see that, you know, was able to start from where they were just starting up, then also witnessing how they have grown as well. So yeah.
That sounds really cool, and I guess you guys must be happy that we moved to the European part of the calendar, because now, you know, for watch parties and watching, it's not early in the morning anymore, but now you can actually watch in the evening, which I suppose is a little bit more for watch parties works a little bit better. And and you guys have I think it's also nice to talk a little bit about the collaboration that we have. So you guys are running I think you started last year with your own prediction competition, is that right?
Yeah, it's just a manual prediction, and actually I was already joining your prediction last year, I myself, right. Yeah, but I also organized a prediction before, just, you know, within the group. But was able to see that you're starting like a mode of different to have our own group also in your own app. So that's a time when I was thinking that why not try to collaborate with you. And surprisingly, there are more active predictors in our group compared to before. So I think they really enjoy the app.
That's really nice.
Yeah, I think.
That's cool.
That's a good feedback from them, actually, when I was trying to talk to them about it. And yeah, they said it's very well organized, everything is going smooth. And you know,
I was going to say the nice thing is also that you guys hand out prizes, so I guess that that also motivates people to make their predictions, because you're handing out the end of the year you're handing out jackets and t-shirts and caps, and I think you give vouchers for a race winner. So that's really cool, and it's really nice to see that people are not just I know there's a lot of groups of friends that, you know, compete amongst themselves and have made their own groups, but it's really nice to be able to, you know, really have a full community play and this way, you know, also play for something. And I think actually you guys have since the beginning of your of this season, you've had somebody on P1 who's actually after this race still on P1. We were talking about it yesterday a little bit, Rainier. but actually his lead is declining a little bit, because we were looking at it yesterday, and Edward had 11 points ahead of P2, but actually now it's only 2.6 points, so it's declining. So it's getting more competitive, which is good. Actually, the P1 this weekend for pregame was Ria Sistosa, scoring 54 points, so pretty good finish on P32 worldwide. And on P2, Jezebel Caballero with 50.5 points, and on P3 we had Francis Malari with 44.5 points.
Yeah, I think it's also starting to change. Before, it's just the same people who are in the podium spots.
Right.
But now it's starting to change. Yeah, and also speaking about, just to share with you, the one who's in P1 right now and overall, I was with him last night. He was also present in the watch party. He's telling me that,
nice.
Yeah, he thought that he'll not anymore hold the lead. So I think he'll be surprised when he sees the result.
Still in the lead, but very, very slight.
Very slight, yeah. But he was telling me maybe I'm already in P2 or P3 after the results last night. He was trying to analyze everything. So we thought that he already lost the lead. So yeah, I think it'll motivate him more next time.
Yeah, and I mean, it's getting more and more difficult. And Samantha, I think both of us are, I mean, we set our goals at the beginning of the season to end up, I guess for you, it was going to be difficult to end up higher than where you finished last year because you finished on P3, but we're now in the P300s and 600s. I mean, this season is something else regarding predictions.
Steep decline. I mean, the deeper we get into the season, the less likely I believe I'm going to crack the top 100. But, you know, a girl can dream, so.
So getting a little bit into talking about the race, Samantha, first I would like to hear from you. Who was your driver of the day?
Oh, that is a very good question. I wasn't prepared for that one, but I like it. You know, I think honestly it's really tough, but I'm going to go with someone that I personally believe just had a fantastic race altogether and was a pleasant surprise to see in the top five, and that's Alexander Albon. I'm going to go with him as my driver of the day, but I definitely have some honorable mentions, that's for sure.
No, but you can motivate Alexander Albon. I think it's a good pick, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, that first initial move that Max pulled on Piastri was just one of the best overtakes I've seen this season, like just in terms of masterclass. I absolutely loved that. And it was pivotal in his race win, I believe. So that was something that was a memorable moment that I would definitely take. And I mean, there's a few others that I think overall had a good weekend. I mean, Hamilton coming out P4 overall, considering the qualifying, for Ferrari in general was a pretty outstanding result. Even Leclerc managing to take P6, but yeah, I think all in all, my driver of the day would still stand at Alexander Albon.
Yeah, I think you mentioned there already. I can't help but also to go into a little bit that first move from Verstappen, because I think worthwhile to also talk a little bit about qualifying, but if we just skip that for now and look at the beginning of the race, yeah, I think a lot of us were afraid that Monza is a track that's relatively difficult to overtake, but actually, you know, also due to circumstances, but we did see a lot of overtakes, but that overtake for me topped them all. I think it might be the best overtake I've seen so far this season. I really didn't see it coming. I think Piastri also didn't see it coming. I doubt even Verstappen himself saw it coming, but that showed
Russell didn't see
a
it coming.
Lot of no, exactly. Well, Russell was also a little bit caught between, you know, between Piastri and Verstappen, because
right.
if Piastri wouldn't be actually defending the left back of his car, then Russell would have had, I think, if we look at the top 10, probably Russell had the quickest start, but he was just, you know, he was caught a little bit in between places. But a very, very exciting start. But let's wind it back a little bit and let's do talk about qualifying as well, although I'm the one guilty of asking your driver of the day. But Rainier, I would like to hear from you, what was your highlight of qualifying, or what did you take away from the Saturday session?
I think it's the usual quality that we can see for the top three, I think. But I was surprised Norris was not able to be up there in the top three. But yeah, it's I think, yeah, I was expecting the result for Piastri, who has been consistent the past few races and in qualies, and also was also surprised with Williams, Sainz and Albon, who was able to make it in the not only in the top 10 but also Albon, Alexander Albon, at the top, actually on top 5. And also, yeah, just surprising, Ferrari was able to, I don't know what happened to them in the qualies, but yeah, but great recovery on the race day. Yeah, so I think but also it is where I also saw the upgrades are working for Red Bull with Max on P2 for quali. So before it was he was in the like P5, P6 or P4. But now seeing in quali that, you know, I was able to, that pace and speed of the car changed from the past few, or compared to past few races, was also for me a bit surprised, and I was able to make it on the, and he's able to get P2, and it proved, I think, really more on the in the race day, I think. So yeah, I think Piastri is on the usual P1, is not surprising for me.
Yeah, no, it was very tight though, I gotta say, and it was very interesting also to see the ghost laps and see, you know, the difference that Verstappen made in the first flying laps of Q3 in the first sector, being a lot quicker, and Piastri being quicker in the other two sectors. But you went past a couple of other teams there. I do agree that the performance of Sainz, of both Williamses actually, but Sainz even topping the session in Q2, having the fastest time. And not only that, Samantha, we also saw both of the Aston Martins in Q3, and I think that was a bit of a surprise too.
Very big surprise. I would say for both of them, they've been struggling for this season, just even cracking the Q2, let alone getting into Q1 and finishing where they did. So, or Q3, I should say. But honestly, a very big surprise for both Alonso and Stroll ending up where they were. And I mean, maybe it's a foreshadowing of what's yet to come for Aston Martin. I mean, they have a lot of pieces that they have added to their puzzle ultimately to provide a considerable amount of strength in the near future. So we'll see.
Yeah, unfortunately, that good performance of Aston Martin on qualifying day was not repeated on race day, although I guess, and I mentioned it previously, circumstances were also influencing. I mean, the race was quite chaotic with two safety cars, one being a virtual and the other being an actual safety car. Actually, that surprised, I think, all of us a little bit, no? Seeing that first we had a virtual safety car for Ocon, and then Antonelli caused a full safety car, which to me seemed like two very similar situations. How do we review that?
I mean, it's always difficult to go back and question some of the decisions, because we find ourselves doing that quite often. And sometimes when it comes to decisions that are made, they're pretty difficult to sway in either direction. In this case, it didn't make sense to me at all. So I do agree with you, Anton. I was very perplexed as to why they opted for a full safety car on the second DNF, simply because, yeah, it was pretty much exactly the same situation. Both cars ended up being parked in the grass out off of the track itself. So I'm not sure why that happened, but ultimately that led to several strategical decisions. Some were stronger than others, I suppose. What was everyone's thoughts when it came to McLaren and it came to whether or not they capitalized with Norris on the situation of a safety car?
I think it was a surprise in the race day that yeah, I think Red Bull's already surpassed their was able to not surpass, but I think it was able to catch up on the upgrades in this race. And not only I think Max, but also Tsunoda was able to prove that in his result. But I think the McLaren has to really have to really rethink and re-strategize of what's going to happen in Monaco. I think Red Bull's going to be a threat for the next few races, especially I think in Spain. And I was surprised actually with with Piastri, didn't have the same pace as before, and Norris was able to overtake him even in the latter part of the race. And yeah, the safety car was able to maybe help the race become more exciting. Yeah, but in the top three, I think it was just just maintained on what the placing of the race will be in for the podium. But it made the race exciting, I think, from in the bottom, like in the from P5 to P4 to P6. But yeah, I think the McLaren right now should really rethink and re-strategize of what really happened to them in Imola, especially what happened to Piastri. I was really surprised, actually. I was always surprised because the past few races, I was really impressed with their tire management. So, I don't know, in this race, I was surprised. You know, it's not really the same level of tire management as we have seen in the past few races, especially in Miami. They were really good, clear-cut above the rest on their tire management. But for this race, I was really surprised on what happened to them. But yeah, I think it's still a good results for them. Not really bad. Yeah, but yeah, but we're expecting more with Oscar for this race, and surprise, and I was really surprised with Max really dominated the whole race with last night.
Well, you mentioned tire management there a little bit, and it's a good point because what happened, of course, is that for this weekend, Pirelli went with the softest tire, the C6 for the soft tire, which of course last year was all one set harder. So it was the C3 was the hard tire last year. Now it was the C4. So with that in mind, and with the early pit stop that Piastri made, because you know we had an early series of pit stops, with Russell going in first, I think, and then Leclerc following him. And actually, it looked for a while that was a great strategical decision by Ferrari, but it also meant that all those drivers who went in early basically forced themselves into a two-stop strategy, which would happen regardless because of the safety cars. But even without the safety cars, that probably would have happened. And Piastri went in a couple of laps after Leclerc did, and with that switch to a hard tire, and then after the virtual safety car, actually was interesting because I think everybody went in at the same moment except for Piastri during that virtual safety car. He actually stayed out for a little bit longer, but of course with the virtual safety car it doesn't really matter if you go in earlier or later, as long as the virtual safety car is deployed. But with that stop, he went to his second set of hard tires. So when we had that actual safety car at the end of the race, I guess the decision making for McLaren was that Piastri didn't really have any tire left that he would have been competitive on the later part of the race. Norris, however, not making that early pit stop, did go on a second set of hards, and but by doing so, of course, he was behind Piastri on the track, and that sort of meant that, you know, of course, if McLaren would have switched the two around, although that would also have been very difficult because, of course, during the safety car you cannot switch the two cars, so they should have done that on the straight. But if you let one pass the other, then of course you're also not going to be able to challenge Max on the restart. So all in all, it was just a little bit, because of those circumstances, a little bit difficult for McLaren, and I also don't really see how they could have done that differently. And besides that, of course, to just tell Norris to pass Piastri on right after the restart would have also, I mean, in the end we're still talking about a pretty decent point difference there between P2 and P3, and those two are battling for the title, so you're also not just going to let one pass the other or give them team orders. I think Piastri wouldn't have let Norris pass, although that would be an interesting thought. I wonder if he really would have. But with all these virtual safety cars and safety cars, it ended up a little bit chaotic, and a lot of things were mixed around, and we saw, you know, even there were some unconventional possibilities. We talked about Alonso, who did not finish in the points, could have scored his first points of the season, but didn't. But Hülkenberg was also very close to finishing on P10, and in the end wasn't able to. Both Alonso and Hülkenberg finished behind Tsunoda, who had a pretty big shunt on the qualifying day. Do we want to talk about that a little bit, about his crash and about Colapinto's crash? Because I didn't see at first how heavy that crash was, but Yuki really hit the wall quite hard over there, didn't he?
It's unbelievable, the engineering of a current Formula One car, because even when you watch it and you slow it down and you can see him flipping, and the fact that the crash was as bad as it was, and he just walks away and he looks like from first glance perfectly fine. He's shaking his head, he's moving his body around. I mean, it's remarkable, the engineering and the safety that has been developed into a car like that, going that fast. I mean, that was a pretty brutal crash. And further to that, Colapinto as well. I mean, really, really a difficult one to look at, and obviously a costly one for Alpine. And this was his first weekend on the track.
Right, yeah. Actually, that Tsunoda crash reminded me a little bit of the 2022 crash of Joe in Silverstone, where also it was the halo scraping the floor, and that same thing happened here. And I think we, us, but also the drivers must be very, very glad that they have a halo on the car. But Colapinto, first race weekend back into F1, this time not for Williams, but for Alpine. I guess we haven't really talked about it yet, because, of course, Doohan was taken out of that car after a previous race in Miami, which we didn't know while we were recording previous podcast. But sad to see Jack leave, but also somewhat excited to see what Colapinto can do. We all know that, you know, he can be quick, but he also is prone to make some mistakes, which is what we saw on qualifying. And actually that led to a very long delay when we were not sure whether Behrmann had set his quali lap before the red flag was out or after. That took very long, and it looked to all of us, I guess, watching, as if because you saw the replays from outside the cockpit, and it looked very much like Oliver had set that lap before the red flag came out, but it was decided that he did not, and it was actually Bortoleto who, as a result, was able to get into Q2 and not Oliver Behrmann. I was a little bit surprised to see that. I don't know what the two of you were thinking about that specific incident.
Yeah, I think some people found it unfair. I think Behrmann was criticizing, slamming FIA of that incident. But I wasn't really observing the whole part of that race, because I was just looking at my phone at that time. So I just saw it in some articles and the updates of really what happened. So yeah, it could be unfair for Ollie Behrmann, but I wasn't really keen on the decision of FIA. I think it is, for me, I should have given him that, you know, the clap time. I really felt bad for Ollie after that incident. Yeah, I think Samantha would be able to share more about it.
I just thought that ultimately it was a really tough, it came right down to the very wire. So to see him make it and then slip right back out was unfortunate for Ollie. However, again, you know, on a positive spin to it all, his qualifying, it's exciting to see him continue. I am looking forward to the as we go further into the season, seeing his continued success, because he has been pretty consistent. Had he have actually made it into Q2, I think he would have been starting from a pretty decent place, and that may have changed his race altogether.
Yeah, and talking about consistency, the last driver that I would like to also mention is that I didn't think too much of him ahead of the season, and I think after his unfortunate start in Australia, we were all perhaps a little bit too skeptic about Isaac Hedger, because a P9 finish, but a great race weekend for him, and he's definitely, I don't think that at this point Red Bull would consider switching Tsunoda for Hajar, but if anything, he is showing his capabilities of driving that I was going to say Toro Rosso V carb racing bulls, whatever we call it. I went back there a little bit. I think
forgot Alpha Tauri.
Only left. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right,
that
Tauri,
was the other one I left unmentioned, or Minardi. I think that's where they originally come from. But anyway, yeah, no, a very good performance from him, and I think he consistently out qualifies and outperforms and outraces Lawson as well. So that was another point finishing position that I think we didn't mention. And other than that, yeah, we haven't talked too much about the Mercedeses. And of course, we did mention that Antonelli. He didn't have a very. I guess all of Italy was very disappointed by the three cars that they were looking out for during qualifying, with Leclerc on 11th and Hamilton on 12th and Antonelli on 13th, and then Antonelli also not being able to finish the race, and George Russell as well complaining during the race that he felt there was something wrong with his car, which they couldn't really determine what it was. And I think just in general, they were showing that. Yeah, they weren't as quick as some of us would have thought ahead of this weekend. And I think, Rainier, you already mentioned it, but the Red Bull surprised us with its pace. And I genuinely think that on race pace, the Red Bull of Verstappen was actually the quickest car. And actually, yeah, on merit, outperformed the McLarens, which is interesting, because of course we all know that we're going to have in this triple header, we're going to go to Monaco first, but then we go to Spain, and then we also get some change rules on the flexi wings. And I don't know, it seems like there's still a lot to be decided in the remainder of the season. And with Verstappen taking this win and coming back in points a little bit, of course Norris on P2, Piastri who's leading the championship on P3, so it all gets squeezed together a little bit in terms of points, which I think what leaves me to say before we go to the quiz is that I guess we go out of this weekend with a feeling that this season is still very, very undecided and there's a lot to be fought for. So I think that's a very exciting note.
Absolutely. I mean, I was thinking actually today, I was thinking about last year, and I was thinking about Monaco and how Leclerc won Monaco, and then after that it was just there was back-to-back races where there was a different winner on the podium, and it was so exciting. So looking at this season and looking at the competitiveness and looking at pleasant surprises that we're seeing on race weekends where even midfield cars are becoming more competitive, it really adds more depth. And and as a racing fan, as a Formula One fan, it's exciting to see when the competition is thick.
All right, so it's time to get to our weekly quiz, and it's going to be an exciting one. So for those that are not always listening, I would like to explain a little bit what we're going to do. We're going to pass by all of our finishing positions in the top 10 that scored points, and we are going to guess how many people this weekend correctly predicted those positions in the correct place. So we had, as we said, 1,376 people playing the game, and actually, Rainier, you got closer to the amount of people that got the podium correct, so that means you're kicking off this quiz. And the first question will be, how many people out of this 1,376 had Verstappen in P1 in their prediction this weekend?
Maybe around 20 people? 20, 25.
You gotta pick one, 20 or 25?
25, yeah, 25.
All right. I'm writing down 25. Sam?
I'm going to go with 72.
All right. Well, you're both right that it was below 100 this time, with your podium predictions being over 100. It was 60 people that went with Verstappen on P1. So that means this is the first point for Samantha, and that means we move to P2, Norris. Sam, how many people had Norris on P2 this weekend?
I'm going to go with a lot. I think a lot of people had Norris on P2. I'm going to say 897.
For me, I think 910.
Well, you're both right that it was a lot of people. It was indeed more than half of the people playing this weekend, but it wasn't as many. You were both around the 900 mark. It was 773. So a lot, but not as many as you thought. So that means actually Sam again gets closer to the right answer. So that's I'm noting down a second point for you, Sam. And Rainier, I'm asking you, how many people did you think went with Piastri on the third step of the podium, Piastri P3?
Lot lesser than P2 of Norris, maybe 150.
Okay, I'm gonna go with 187.
All right, and that means that's the first point for Rainier, because it was actually fewer than 100. It was 81. So not that many people with Piastri on P3. I'm supposing a lot of people went with Piastri on P1 and P2. I'm even surprised there were still 81 people with him on P3. Means we go to Hamilton on P4, and that one's for Sam.
Well, I think a lot of people were surprised about that. And you know, one thing we didn't mention, and I'll just quickly mention it. I mean, it's Imola, Ferrari strong, and the fact that, you know, both cars finished in Q2 and not Q3 was very surprising. But, you know, a great turnaround for both drivers, and I don't know if a lot of people picked Hamilton in fourth. So I'm going to go with 36.
For me, I think, same as what Samantha commented. I think not a lot of people expected, and especially with if you want to base your predictions on the free practice. So, yeah, they're not really have their own pace in this weekend. So I think, I believe most people really predicted below, like P7, P8. But, yeah, for me, the number of people who I think predicted for Hamilton in P4, maybe I'll go with this number, 44.
That's actually very interesting, because that means that the right answer is exactly in the middle. It's 40 people. So that's Sam, you went 4 under, and Rainier, you went 4 over. So that's half a point for
what
both of
odds?
You. I'll count half a point.
Interesting.
44 was a good guess.
Yeah, I got to say, actually, I'm leaning towards giving Rainier the point just for going for 44, but that wouldn't be fair, and I'll have Sam complaining for a week, so let's not do that. But
he's going to be with you for the whole time.
Hey, I'm not sore
exactly.
A loser.
No, I got to give you that. You're not. You're quite, go to the next one, which is actually P5. I think that's the third time that Albon has finished on P5 this season. And it was interesting to see him, even after the race, being slightly disappointed, if you will. Of course, he had that little fight with Leclerc, where he went off track. Leclerc gave that position back. But actually, in the meantime, Hamilton had overtaken him. Alas, we're going to Albon on P5, Rainier. How many people went with that? And that's I don't know. This I was thinking about this beforehand, before checking the answers, because, well, anyway, we'll talk about it. I want to hear from you how many people you think went with that.
I think not also a lot of people predicted that he'll be in the top five for this weekend. So I think I'm gonna go at a less number. I think around 26.
I'm gonna go with 3 people.
No.
Well, it's again somewhat in the middle, but it's slightly closer to Sam's answer. It was 12 people, so that means you're 9 away, and that means Rainier, you're 14 away from the right answer. So, yeah, but it was actually still quite a few. I would have also gone with a guess like you, Sam, somewhat around 3. So I was even somewhat impressed that there were still that many people that went with a Williams, regardless of which Williams, but with Williams in the top 5, like you said, Rainier. I also didn't expect. I always look at it from a perspective of, you know, how big would the chance be that I would pick that? And I haven't had the balls yet to do that, but maybe it's time, because it's going to be interesting. I mean, the Williams look very quick in qualifying, and next weekend we're going to go to Monaco, where qualifying is everything. But anyway, we'll look ahead to Monaco in a little bit. We first go and see how many people went with Leclerc on P6. Sam, I want to hear from you first.
That's a good one, because I think that there may have been a few people that chose Leclerc on 6. So I am going to go with 134.
Okay, I think same as around that number, I think, but I think lesser, maybe 116.
It's actually interesting. It's quite a bit more. It's more than double. Sam, you're 206 away from the right answer. There was 340 people that went with Leclerc on P6. Of course, Rainier, you and me, we were two of those. So that might have already given you the idea that there might have been a few more. But yeah, 340 people. That means the point is Sam's. So it's now 4.5 against 1.5, meaning that actually it's time to get a few right, Rainier, or at least get close. So I'll give you Russell on P7 first.
Okay, for P7, maybe a lot of people. But I think there are more people who voted for him on the podium, or maybe P4. So not gonna give a big number. So maybe around 220.
Okay. I am. I don't know. The whole Leclerc thing just threw me off. I have no idea what to go with now. I'm gonna go random and say 112.
Yeah, the Leclerc thing did throw both of you off. It was a lot fewer for Russell. It was 54.
Oh my.
Yeah. That's
But I wonder if the reason why is that because majority of people placed Russell higher.
Yeah, I think so.
Hence the reason why the prediction was low.
Yeah. Given the performance for the past races of Russell, I think people thought that he'll be there in the podium or maybe P4.
Yeah, I mean, Russell's been consistently in the top five for all the races this year. I had him on my podium on P3. So yeah, that's most likely the reason. Meaning we go to Sainz on P8. Samantha, how many people went with Sainz on that P8? And we know that Rainier was one of them. But how
that's
many?
That's right.
How many
so there's at least one. I'm gonna say 89.
I think more. I think maybe around 160.
All right. That means that's another point for you, Rainier, a full point, because it was 258, quite a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. I mean, what's really, really cool to see, even Albin in P5, the amount of people that chose him, I was more surprised, obviously, because I lowballed that. But again, I think this is a resurgence of Williams as of recently in terms of finishing strong and coming off the backs of the weekend prior. I shouldn't be as surprised that this many people placed them in the top 10.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll be in the points for the next few races. I hope so. It'll be very interesting for them to see that. You know, given the previous performance, in the start of the season, I think they can do it in the points most of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it seriously looks like Williams is about to be the fifth team on the grid now, and they haven't been for a long time. So that, and I mean, we were just talking about Albon being disappointed. I mean, I think at some point, with the after the safety car. I think there was a decent shout even for him to try and overtake Leclerc and also still challenge Piastri, who of course was on old tires. Now of course the McLaren is a lot quicker, but I'm pretty sure that that thought must have creeped into Albon's mind. And yeah, it's very interesting to see that Williams has performed that well and scoring points after points. But we move to Isaac Hedger, Rainier, on P9. How many people went with that?
For me, I was surprised Isaac was able to get in the points. But before qualifying, of course, when we predicted. So I think I have to give him a little less. I think 98.
Okay, I am going to go with 42.
That's pretty close to the right answer. It was 59.
Nice, okay.
Means the last question is going to be yours, Sam. It's Yuki Tsunoda, P10.
All right, I'm going to go a little higher here. I was one of them, so I know at least one person chose Tsunoda in P10, but I'm going to go with 101.
For me, I'll still stick to maybe 90, 95.
All right, I'm writing down 95, and I'm also writing down the last point for Sam because it was 244.
That's
quite a lot. Yeah. So yeah. Sam wins it 7.5 against 2.5, but of course, one on experience, I would say. Yeah, I've written down a couple of bonus questions which. We will not, well, they won't count now, but I'll still ask them because they're interesting. Just asking both of you, out of those 1,376 people, how many people do you think placed Colapinto in their top 10 on this first race weekend that I got back on the grid?
That's a good question.
Maybe not a lot. I think this is first race, still adjusting with a new team. And for maybe around 25.
I'm going to say 6.
Well, you both greatly underestimate the Latino American side of this world.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have a lot of Argentinians playing the game. And,
goodness,
I would say a lot of people on this side of the world had Colapinto. So in total, there were 216 people with Colapinto in their top 10.
Wow.
I forgot about that actually. And they are really, but you, as a fan, they're really something.
Yeah, but you see it very often that when there's, mid-season, there's a new driver on the grid, then you open the forecast app and then all of a sudden there's somebody new to be filled out, then people just get excited and put him there. So now my next question is also going to be Colapinto related. Where do you think he was, what was his highest placed position in predictions this weekend? So I guess, of course, we can all guess that he was mostly placed on P10, but what was his highest predicted position by anyone?
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, my head is already...
Yeah, they're tough ones today.
A little scrambled by the amount of people. I didn't think of it as strategically as I should have. So
it's late evening for us, Sam. It's early morning for Rainier. So
that's very true.
Yeah,
nice excuse to give me, but okay.
I'm having coffee right now.
Had a coffee too, actually. So
how? Okay, I'm
not
gonna go
the, not
with...
not any weak Tim Horton stuff, Sam.
Oh yeah, now come on. You know what? I'm not. I am Canadian, so I am not going to say anything critical of Tim Hortons. I am going to leave that alone because to many Canadians, that is a national treasure.
Right,
however,
I'm chasing away listeners.
Well, I wasn't finished. I say, however, it's been quite a while since I had a Tim Hortons coffee.
Right.
But with that being said,
yeah,
I'm going to go with P4.
I'm tempted to say P1, but some people, his fans are really believing him.
Well, to be really honest with you, I was also expecting somebody to do that, but that didn't happen. I'll give you guys the answer. I'll list you the complete list. So there were 134 people that had him on P 10. There were 54 people with him on P9. There were 20 people that put him on P8, 8 people that put him on P7, 3 people that put him on P6, and it was one person that put him on P3. So that would have been the right answer.
Podium.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
That's wild. Wild guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the person that predicted him on the podium finished last this weekend in forecast, sadly. So you see what that does for you.
is it new to the app or?
No, actually, he's been playing the whole of last year as well. But he always comes with a couple of I won't mention names here, but yeah, there's always always people that try to do over the whole of last year we had one guy who 24 races in a row predicted Hülkenberg on the podium just to try and be the first one to get that right when that would finally happen, but it didn't happen yet. Actually, just to name him quickly, that was Kevin Darapay, who actually finished in the top 20 this race. So he stopped putting Hülkenberg on P3 and now is actually scoring some serious points. So yeah, you see that some people change strategies in forecast along the way. But talking about strategies, guys, we're gonna have the Monaco race right after this one, and it's an interesting one to look ahead, because of course we have a new rule for this year's Monaco race, which means that all teams need to have they need to do 2 pit stops. So that's going to be very interesting, actually. Then I've written down another bonus question on Imola that I skipped now, but I'm going to ask you now anyway, because we're talking about pit stops. How many pit stops happen during this race in Imola?
Like,
it's another good question.
In total.
You mean all together?
Yeah,
in
all together.
Total.
Yeah.
Oh, no. okay. I'm going to go with. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's.
Okay, I'm going to say 28. I regret it already.
Maybe, be more 10 places higher, 38.
Okay, that's actually very, very, very close to the right answer. It was 37 pit stops.
Oh, that is very close. Yeah. You were almost on the money.
Yeah, exactly. You start guessing very good, but right after the quiz, it's a bit too late.
Still adjusting, maybe the transition period. Maybe next
time. Yeah, exactly. No, that's good. I mean, you can get some practice in, and then next time when we have you on the podcast, you can have a rematch with Sam.
Yeah.
But Rainier, I'm curious to listen. Sam and I always talk a little bit about what we're going to predict for next race. But to be really honest, I don't want to give anything away, because we always have very, very similar predictions. So I'm curious to hear from you what you think will happen in Monaco, or at least who would you predict that would win Monaco?
It's very difficult right now to... Maybe I'll check first what setup will be made by the teams, a different setup, I think, because Monaco is a different ball game.
For sure.
Yeah, and quali is really, could be the decider for the weekend, if he really made it good in the quali. But yeah, but the new rule that having 2 pit stops will be a game changer, of course. But I think not too much, because the pecking order will still be the same. But except there will be a safety car or a crash or something.
Or
some rain, yeah, of course. So yeah, it's very difficult to predict right now. So, but I think McLaren will really, especially Piastri, will really be, for me, I think he'll give a pole for that. But it's a very tight match with Max, I think. But with the disposition of Piastri, with this, with his demeanor, I think he will give, for me, he'll get the pole for Monaco. Then of course Max will be there at P2, and I think I won't give Norris P3 for this. I might give it to Charles for P3. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting one. Of course, it's a home race for Charles. I'm looking up now weather for Monaco for next week, and of course it's still far away. Let's be clear on that. But it is saying now that there is some chance of rain between Friday and Saturday. It's mentioning Saturday. Sunday seems to be cloudy, but no rain. But of course things can change, and we know that actually in Monaco things can change very dramatically all of a sudden. So yeah, that might be something the teams will be looking out for, and I will be looking out for it as well. And I'm gonna be breaking my head over the next few days on who I'm gonna put on the podium. But like you said, I think it will be interesting to look a little bit at practice sessions, although those can also be very, very deceiving. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm hoping for an exciting race, and I'm hoping that I agree with what you're saying. I think that the mandatory pit stops might not have that much effect, but you never know. I mean, we've also seen we've seen things go wrong during pit stops. I mean, we had a couple of pit stops here in Imola as well that that went wrong, and I remember also on wasn't it Bottas a couple of years ago when they couldn't get the tire knots off, and of course Leclerc had problems in pit stops. There's a lot that can happen, so it's going to be an interesting one to look forward to, and it's always a slightly different one on the calendar. And the Saturday is definitely going to be exciting, that we know, and hopefully we also get a good Sunday. No, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know with Monaco that pit stops are paramount and play a humongous factor in terms of a result. I think, me personally, when it comes to predictions, although I'll never be able to fully decide until I hit the submit button, and usually with about 5 seconds left before the deadline, I still would say that I'm going to go probably lean towards McLaren on this one. And I think I may even be considering more so Norris. But with that being said, I mean, it's Monaco. I feel like anything can happen, and anything has happened, we've seen historically. So I'm looking forward to it either way. And speaking of historically, I mean, it's one of the most historic races on the calendar. So always a pleasure to see it come up.
No, I fully agree with you on that. And with that, I would like to thank you, Rainier, for coming on. And I would like to thank you for talking to us a little bit about this Imola weekend, but also playing the predictions against Sam. And of course, also for organizing the pre-game competition, which is going to be very exciting to follow throughout the rest of the season. So I wish you a lot of luck with that. And and thank you for coming on.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I had a great time. Congratulations to Sam. Maybe next time I can make it more closer to you.
Absolutely. I'm here for it.
Fair. Just kidding. Yeah, so I'm always thankful for how you guys support also, you know, by running the whole app and by always being up to date with the results. We are really impressed. The results are very fast, you know. So yeah, our community here in pregame are really really appreciated the whole app and the whole things that you're organizing, and it makes also not exciting for us, not, and I believe that just to share with you that Antoine was saying that because of the prizes it motivates them more, but I think now what I can see and based on the feedback, they're just having fun with the whole forecasting, with the whole prediction thing. So yeah, I think some of them forgot already their prizes, but I think they're more excited to see their names being put there on the leaderboard or something. They're happy already.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're happy.
No, that's very nice to hear.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you so much.
I hope it continues that way, and it's good to hear people are enjoy playing. And and we will end this episode. Of course, we've switched recently to playing the national anthem of the winner of this week's forecast. So hopefully we still get a Filipino winner once this year. But for now, we're going to end with the Zambian national anthem. And I've played it a couple of times already. It's actually, I really enjoy listening to it. So here we go.